Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds dog food and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Today on the Illini Inquirer podcast, let's talk some Illini hoops. We bring in Derek Piper to talk about a big-time official visit coming in this weekend, a top 100 recruit in the class of 2023 as Illinois tries to add to what was a big, big first addition in Imani Hansberry, who's now a top 60 prospect in the class. Dre Gibbs Lawhorn, kind of a late arrival here because he was once committed to Purdue, but is certainly a top priority target. Derek Piper will break that down. We'll also talk about the practice basically starting, and that 20 hours a week will start in the next week or so here for Illinois, where the staff gets a lot of time with their new look team. We'll break down some of the biggest storylines there. And also, Zachary Perrine, not a part of this team, at least for the first semester, maybe the entire year. We'll talk about that as well. But Derek Piper, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Welcome back from Boston. Yes. You got to give me your review. I think first time at Fenway, right?
I did a tour of Fenway about 4 or 5 years ago. Me and my wife fell in love with the city, walking the Freedom Trail, getting good beer. Just a great city, especially at this time of year. September, October is when I've been there. The first time we went Boston to Cooperstown, fantastic trip, one of our favorite trips. This time it's just a 48-hour getaway from mom and dad, we just ate a lot of food, drank a lot of beer, went to a ball game. But yeah, Fenway, it's just the experience, man. So much history there. You see the red seat where Ted Williams hit a ball 500 feet. I'm thinking of when I was a senior in high school, Derek, the bloody sock game, all that. Dislocated my ankle in football that week, and what kind of kept me like upbeat was watching the Red Sox do that with the Yankees. So that's what I kept thinking back of. But to me, it was a lot like Wrigley. I might say like Wrigley, with everything around it, I might have higher on my list, but definitely a great ballpark to get off your bucket list. They were playing the Royals, probably would have felt different playing the Yankees or something like that. But it was still really cool to be there.
Yeah, I got a chance to go there a few years ago. Seeing the Green Monster, it's a smaller park than maybe it looks like on TV. That was something that I kind of took away, although you get that sense from Wrigley as well. But yeah, certainly for us, our generation, more than Manny Ramirez, Curt Schilling, Johnny Damon type of Red Sox teams, but you definitely appreciate the history as well. And yeah, always good to get a good getaway. Me and Haley's first one coming up post-baby this week and going to St. Louis to see Kevin Hart. So
there you go.
That'll be fun. But yeah, I love Boston, and I was glad you got a chance to check out Fenway for the first time.
Yeah, I mean, Fenway's definitely up there. Like, Dodger Stadium, I didn't love, like, you know, when you get to some of these old parks, the amenities aren't very good, right? So, like, I know I'm biased, but, like, the White Sox Park, like, has some of the best amenities. Food, beer, you know, sights, all of that. Like, it is really, really well done. You're not going to get that at Fenway, but that's not why you go, right? Like, you're not going for a Fenway Frank or something like that. Dodger Stadium's kind of the same way. It's kind of hard to get around that stadium, but the views of it, the history of it are unbelievable. So I almost have those, like, in their own tier. I'd probably have Wrigley above Fenway, and then probably Dodger Stadium. But there, you have to go there. Like, I've been to 17 stadiums, and those three all had just a different feel. I will say, of the 17 stadiums, PNC Park in Pittsburgh is by far my number one. By far my number one. And you know what might be my number two, Derek, is your St. Louis Cardinals. Like, the view, ballpark village, it's just the new state. It's so good. It's so good. It's a great place to go see a game. The fans do know their baseball. I know that part of it. But just everything around it is built around that park. And they have all the new amenities, all those things. So I'd probably have St. Louis number two on my list. Even though I've been to a tour of San Francisco, I can't give you a game day. Because I hear San Francisco's up there too.
Yeah, I've always wanted to go to what used to be Pac Bell Park out there in San Francisco. PNC for me is number one as well. Just the view looking out beyond the outfield to that bridge that we walked a few times back in March to cover the NCAA tournament there in Pittsburgh. That was a good time. Our friend Joey Wagner joining us on those adventures as well. But, and did you see any subliminal messages on the Fenway scoreboard, you know, like a Field of Dreams style, anything like popping, there's going to be a commit coming soon, or Illinois football going to win 6-7 games?
I was a couple Sam Adams brick red ales in at that point. I wasn't looking for those. But just like explaining to my wife the dimensions of that park. Like, we were two rows from Pesky Pole, which is 308 feet. But to hit a home run there, you got to like curve it around. Like, if you ever seen the movie, what was the one with Jimmy Fallon? With Drew Barrymore.
Oh, yeah.
That movie. I can't think of the Red Sox movie right now, but they talked about
Fever Pitch.
Yeah, Fever Pitch. And,
put it out of my mind because they beat the Cardinals in the World Series at the end of that movie.
That's right.
Yeah.
They had to change the whole movie. They had to go reshoot it and everything and pay a bunch of money for it, but it was kind of a good way to end the movie. But anyway, yeah, it was just explaining my wife to that. But unlike Wrigley, the scoreboard is in the Green Monster, right? They have to come out each inning onto the field to change the score. So I'm watching, hoping the freaking Twins could beat the Guardians just once. And I just see that score going up and up and up, but it's every like 10 minutes. So it's kind of old school. That was interesting, but it doesn't have like 9 innings of scores. It just has the 1-0 or whatever it is. So it's cool being there, man. It's just like a blast from the past once you get in there.
About throwback for sure.
Yeah. All right, Derek. Well, people didn't come for the baseball talk. Hopefully they enjoyed it. Zachary Perrine, kind of knew this was, at least unknown of whether he would be able to get here. Seemed to have some admissions issues getting in here. It seems like he would have had these issues a lot of places, so I don't think it's just an Illinois thing here. But he decides he's going to go to Sunrise Christian in Kansas, where Illinois has really good relationships there. But he gets to the States. He says he's committed to Illinois. What are your thoughts? What are you hearing on Zachary Perrine not being with the team, at least to start the season?
Well, it's a disappointment because obviously Perrine's coming to the United States to play college basketball, and he was pretty much in position to do that, just fell short as far as the admissions hurdles that you have to go through, which admittedly is sometimes a lot for international students. And when you commit and decide to go to college that late in the summer, that can play into it as well. So Illinois was trying to work with him and get things ironed out. Ultimately, it didn't work out to get him in this fall, but the fact that he just turned 18 years old, so he's along the same lines of a traditional high school senior in terms of age, and just to miss him this year, I don't think kills the team by any means. You weren't relying on him to come in and be a starter or a key piece off the bench. I think they know his upside. Like, if he was able to come in and be able to, he's got a lot of skill and he's played well in those FIBA competitions. It's just whether his strength is going to be there and whether stepping up and playing Big Ten level competition, whether he could give you a whole lot. But he could have competed with Brandon Lee for some emergency minutes at the five and just seeing what that ultimately looks like. So, but playing at Sunrise, where they've got a bunch of talent, John Bull is a five-star in 2024. They got a bunch of others, Mattis Bazulis from the state of Illinois, who's probably going to go, I think he is going G League, and just a number of top 50 caliber talents that he'll be in practice with every day to work with and continue to work on his game. And yeah, as you mentioned, I think ideally, Illinois, being that he was so close to get admitted, maybe I think there is a possibility of him getting in at mid-semester, and we'll see what that looks like. But, it's not a huge deal as long as he sticks with that commitment, which I think there's a high level of confidence that he will, and he'll be in Champaign ultimately at some point down the road.
Yeah, I don't think this has a huge impact on the season, right? Zachary Perrine is a developmental prospect. He's a really intriguing one. that we think has a decent ceiling to him. Again, became a prospect late in the process, so he's not ranked. We don't know where he'd be. Would he be top 100? I don't know. But he's certainly an interesting big body that for a decade or so, Illinois was struggling to land those kind of players. So to add a prospect like that behind what you have in Dane Danger, Coleman Hawkins would have been nice. Would he have played more than Brandon Lieb? I don't know. Maybe. But I think those are the kind of minutes we're talking about, right? And I think the hard part is you lose the development with Fletch. You lose the development with Jeff Alexander every day. You lose the development of just getting on campus and acclimating yourself to the U.S., to a new language, right? Like that can be a barrier. So all of those things I think would have helped him. But the fact that he's going to Sunrise Christian, like that's a high level of competition. That's a really good program, as you talked about. Some of the players he's going to be going up against, you know, he's played some good competition in Europe, but some of those guys he's talking about are going to play in the NBA. So I think that's not the worst scenario here for Zachary Perrine and his development. And if they can get him here mid-semester, Derek, there will be no pressure on him to play. He'll get some of that acclimation. He'll get that time with Fletch. So if they can find a way to get him in January, that's almost ideal, because you almost get like a mini college in Sunrise for a semester. And then if he's able to get here in January, which I don't know if he will be, right? I don't know. But if we're playing that scenario, I think that could almost be ideal for him.
No doubt. And yeah, Sunrise is essentially that middle ground between what's a traditional high school program and college basketball. It's been a college basketball factory in turning out high major prospects, and to play against good competition, to be away from home, to be in the United States, where obviously he's going to go through some of the same acclimation processes of being away and being around guys from the United States and learning English even more as the primary language around here. I think that certainly plays to it. But yeah, if he can get in January, get with Fletch, work with Dane Danger and Coleman Hawkins, going against them in practice, and then also, you know, having the development with Jeff Alexander on the court. We've talked a lot over the years about how much Brad likes bringing guys in that year before they're really playing a lot, even if whether they're eligible or not. And he would be eligible if he were to come in mid-year. But even if he didn't play and was just practicing and learning the system and getting comfortable at U of I, and then going into next year where maybe Coleman Hawkins does make that jump to the NBA and there's more minutes to be had for Perrine, and then Hansberry coming in as a freshman. So there's not a big – it doesn't move the needle much in either direction for Illinois basketball's season outlook by him not showing up, but it definitely is something that you wish would have played out a little differently.
Yeah, it's a little bit different. Maybe in years past this would have been a bigger deal, but with what Illinois is doing with the transfer portal, like if this doesn't go as planned, like there's just other ways that Illinois can still accrue talent and still make it through without having maybe their complete roster. But it is worth noting they would be down to 11 scholarship players. They are down to 11 scholarship players at this point. Not quite Michigan State, but not too far from it.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
All right, Derek, the big news is Dre Gibbs Lawhorn is visiting, taking an official visit to Illinois this weekend. And again, kind of comparing this to previous years, this would have been like the biggest deal. But given what Illinois has accrued talent-wise and on the roster, maybe it's not as buzzworthy, but still a very big visit coming up. Top 100 recruit, formerly top 50 recruit at one point, was committed to Purdue, decommitted. Purdue didn't seem to have an issue with that and seemed to be driving part of that as well. But what do we know about Dre Gibbs Lawhorn? First, let's start off with why Illinois is so interested in this 6'2" guard out of Indiana.
First and foremost, he's really talented. You mentioned it there. He's been in the top 50, and at one point, as a sophomore prior to his injury, he was a top 10 prospect. I know it's really early in terms of evaluating and for scouts to really get a full glimpse of that class, but at one time for 24/7 Sports, he was a top 10 prospect in the country. Solidified himself as in that top 50 range more recently, and then dropped a little bit outside. Now he's in that at 75 to 80 range right now. And to that point, he suffered a broken ankle and foot fracture. He was out for a year, so he's a year removed from that. But Illinois loves his talent. He's a very gifted scorer. They see their backcourt right now, which is freshman reliant, and then just kind of rather thin at the point guard position, needing another ball handler in that mix. It's a fast-paced system. It's a system that plays multiple ball handlers, and just having another guard that can make a play off the dribble, that can make a read in a ball screen, they see him being able to do that. And when he's coming available at this point, and they've been kind of dabbling in that point guard market, they looked at a few in the transfer portal over the offseason. And then we talked about Nicola Moretti, the point guard out of Italy, who's they've evaluated some, but Gibbs Lawhorn is someone that is very, very talented. They could use another guard, and Tim Anderson seems to have an in there, and Illinois getting the first visit after him decommitting from Purdue gives them a legit chance. So, I know in the past, I remember the excitement around a Trent Frazier official visit way back when, and he's kind of ranked in that similar range. So, not saying that fans aren't excited to get him on campus, but it just shows the standard that, oh, a top 100 guard, of course. I mean, that's what Brad Underwood does.
Yeah, and you mentioned Tim Anderson. It's like, yeah, he's his streak of commitments was broken by Imani Hansberry. So, like, he's got to get back on this. Come on. He's got a standard to uphold. This is the greatest year and a half of recruiting we might have seen out of an Illinois assistant coach. Okay, Dre Gibbs Lawhorn was committed to Purdue. What are the question marks about him, his game, Derek? And do we know anything about the Purdue situation?
I think when you read into it and you hear what's been said on those who cover Purdue, is that the people around him have been a hurdle to get over in terms of colleges and Purdue once having him committed, of just dealing with everything that's around him. He's got a lot of people in his ear. It seems to be kind of a circus around him. At least that's what's been said. And it's college basketball recruiting. It's recruiting in general. There are going to be some higher maintenance recruitments than there are in some other instances. So it just seems like that is a factor there. And then I know that on the Purdue side, it's that NIL became a big conversation piece. And I think it's a lot less of an issue for Illinois, knowing how aggressive they've been on that front. We've talked a lot about Illinois being ahead of the curve in the way that they've set up the infrastructure to be competitive in the NIL arena. And Purdue doesn't – there have been a couple of examples now where it doesn't seem like Purdue is all that competitive, and there are questions of how much interest there is by Purdue to really compete with some of the big boys in NIL.
Which is not the case with Illinois basketball right now.
It is not the case. There is an appetite there, and there are resources to make that happen. So I don't look at that as an issue from Illinois' standpoint. I think – in terms of his game, it's just getting back to the consistency that he had pre-injury, and watching some of his film from the summer. He had some moments in particular in the summer with his jump shot. His three-point shot was hot and cold. I know that in the spring he shot on the UIBL circuit around 36-37% from three at a pretty good volume, which is great. And then you go into the summer, and I think he was sub 30% and just had some moments where he'd get hot and had some moments where he was kind of a chucker. And that's something that he needs to be more consistent with. And his handle, I know that for Illinois that looks at him as a additional ball handler, maybe someone that can run some offense through, there's been some moments where he's had some turnovers and has been a little loose with the ball. So again, for someone that missed a year and he's only a year removed from a serious injury, you understand that certainly factors into it. But still a very talented player, and there's a lot to like about him.
So what's this second recruitment look like, Derek? I've heard a lot of schools that are kind of in the mix with him. He doesn't throw out a lot of offers. He just tweeted out his offer or Instagrammed his offer of Illinois, which I'm sure he's had for a little bit. Illinois getting the first official visit of the fall, I believe. So who else is involved here, and what's this recruitment look like?
As far as we can tell, it looks like Illinois and Memphis are the most serious players about him. They were both at Mount Verd the first day of the open recruiting period earlier this month to see him. And Memphis actually had the first scheduled visit, which then got rescheduled, and Illinois slotted in and took that. So it seems like those two are definitely big players. And then beyond that, other schools that have been mentioned, Texas, Virginia, Gonzaga, UCLA in the past has been linked. North Carolina has been reported to have a little bit of interest. But I think that this has been the time where once open recruiting has gone back, which if you're wondering what that is, just coaches going back on the road and being able to see these guys and meet with them and really show how interested they ultimately are. I know Chris Beard was down at Mount Verd last week, I believe. Now, there are a lot of players down there at Mount Verd, so just a coach going in that building doesn't necessarily mean they're all in on Dre Gibbs Longhorn. There are a handful of five-stars each and every year playing for Mount Verd. So I think beyond Illinois and Memphis, it remains to be seen who's really, really serious about him. Those are the schools that have already established themselves as major players. And beyond that, I think there's kind of still a wait-and-see process.
Just keep Penny Hardaway away from the golf course, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No, that recruitment seems so long ago. What was that, Jordan Nesbitt?
Jordan Nesbitt.
Can you whiteboard
that? What a
weird one. Can you whiteboard that, Derek? I don't know if people all understood that one.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like Jordan Nesbitt was going to Illinois. It was trending. Well, first it was SLU. That was one of the recruitments. I'm not going to say the recruitment because we've covered some crazy ones, and I know you have on the football side as well, but was trending towards SLU, and then ultimately it wasn't, and then it seemed like Illinois might have been the destination for a hot week or so, and then down the stretch he was trending and went to Memphis, and it was kind of like, well, he was quoted as saying, when Penny Hardaway called me from the golf course, it showed that he really wanted me, and that really sold it for Jordan Nesbitt to go to Memphis. So, and since then, you've seen Illinois roll out a new, very nice and updated and expensive golf cart of their own. They drive recruits around campus for us. So that shouldn't be an issue anymore, apparently.
Yeah, and they got the NIL money to step up the game, too. Certainly seems to be the way for Illinois right now. Okay, if they can get Dre Gibbs Longhorn at some point, Derek, how would he fit? What would it mean to add him to Imani Hansberry in this class of 2023?
It just gives you more depth at the guard spot and continue to elevate the depth of talent and just the level of talent. When you can bring back Sky Clark, Jaden Epps, Sincere Harris, those are three guys that were ranked inside the top 100 of 24/7 Sports in the 2022 class. You throw Ty Rogers in the mix as well, who's going to have the ball in his hands quite a bit, and you could even consider a guard. I know he's kind of that Swiss Army knife, call him whatever you want. He's a basketball player. And just another ball handler in that backcourt, another shot maker. I think him and Jaden Epps have plenty of parallels in terms of that score first combo guard, can play on the ball, can play off the ball, and they're high volume scorers. I know that when Purdue had Dre Gibbs Longhorn committed, those around the program, those who covered it, said they're selling him on a Carson Edwards like role. And then when we talked about Jaden Epps, I kind of saw that as kind of the mold for Jaden Epps as well. So just having another bucket getter back there, and if one of those guys or both of them can really figure out being another piece in that ball screen to initiate offense, it just gives you more weapons in that backcourt. And to have Gibbs Longhorn and Hansberry would be a really, really good class. Still have some flexibility in the portal. And you just never know also how a roster is going to unfold after a season, knowing the transfer portal, knowing now when you recruit so much talent, guys can leave early for the NBA and that whole kind of thing. So I think it would elevate Illinois to having more depth and would really put what is already a very good foundation for the future of pieces that could be here for a while. We just continue to give you two more pieces that are in the top 100 and very talented players in their own right.
Yeah, I just did a quick look at the scholarship grid, Derek, and I used this measurement because it fits my thing that I want to say here. I went top 110 to fit in guys like Luke Goody, Sincere Harris, but of the 11 guys that would be on scholarship next year, 12 guys, if they land Gibbs Longhorn 9 guys would be former top 110 recruits, and one of them that wouldn't would be Coleman Hawkins. Like that's a pretty dang talented roster right there.
Yeah, that's been kind of the standard of Michigan State traditionally, and then what Michigan's done here recently, Ohio State has routinely pulled in guys in the top 100. I mean, that's a great depth of talent and recruiting at a level where, yeah, like we mentioned, kind of at the forefront of a top 100 guard just visiting. Like if Illinois during the John Gross era or even early on in Brad Underwood, when they got a top 100 player, it's like, oh, that's kind of a big deal. Now the roster is just full of them.
Yeah. Zachary Perrine and Brandon Lieb would be the other two, by the way. So just to sell you that, that'd be a pretty dang good another addition to this roster that has been unbelievable build by Brad Underwood and now his revamped Illinois staff. All right, Derek, speaking of that, the on-the-court stuff that's actually happening with the current team, got to see some of them at the meet-and-greet hosted by the Illini Guardians. Those guys made some good money doing that, which is awesome to see. But they start some real work. They've been working all offseason with Fletch and all of that, some with the coaches, which is really limited, I think 8 hours a week. But it's going to improve or increase to about 20 hours within the next week or so. So a lot of hands-on work with the coaches as a team. Let's talk about some of the big storylines that I think we need to talk about with, what, a month and a half left before the season, maybe 45, 50 days. I think, number one, the biggest question mark about this team is the freshman point guards, right? Like, Brad Underwood did not get a transfer point guard, which we kind of expected them to do, but part of the reason was he landed a very talented freshman in Sky Clark that a veteran didn't want to come in here and be the backup to. And then Jaden Epps, of course, is a top 75 prospect as well. But that's the position that, you know, you can have success with. We saw it with Ohio State last year with, Malachi Branham running a lot of the league guard there. But you can also have some ups and downs. So what do you think about what Illinois has so far at freshman guard, and how quickly do you think those guys can kind of work out some of the rough areas here?
They have some very talented pieces. It's just, as you mentioned, freshmen tend to make, especially early, a lot of mistakes, turnovers, especially for a team that's going to play really up-tempo. I wonder how that's going to all develop. And while over the summer they just kind of let these guys play together, mesh together, try to play a lot of five-on-five and just get a feel for each other and just let their games go and kind of just feel that out. And also, it's a lot of skill development this fall. And while they've done the 8 hours here recently and then going into the 20 is more system implementation, plays. And for a freshman who's learning that all for the first time, that's a lot to put on the plate of a freshman point guard. Not to have a Trent Frazier to kind of guide you through, as Andre Curbelo got to have that with Frazier and Io DeSumo. And now having a freshman point guard, even if it's going to be Ty Rogers, because it's interesting, you're going to have Sky Clark, who's most likely your freshman point guard starter, and then Jaden Epps and Ty Rogers are your next in line to be point guard options off the bench. So those are three freshmen. How those guys handle that is going to be very interesting. I think you are going to see some mistakes. Interested to hear how Sky Clark is continuing to progress, off being cleared from the injury at the end of the summer, and just having him get back into rhythm, because he hasn't played a whole lot of full go, full speed. Obviously, he hasn't played in a game in a while either. How he handles that. I know Jaden Epps, very talented scorer, but kind of the facilitating aspect of it, that was something you heard out of the summer, was something that he still needed to work quite a bit on in terms of being a passer, making the right reads. And I know Ty's a very kind of mature player overall. You're probably not going to worry too much about him making the right decisions, making good passes. It's just whether if you're going to put him in ball screens, can he make jump shots or show that kind of ability? So for a team that's got a ton of talent, it's got a lot of depth, it's got a lot of exciting athleticism and versatility, just not to be held back by having too much inexperience at point guard. And yeah, I'm with you. That's the biggest question, and very intrigued to see how that plays out.
More from a macro sense here, the system. I mean, this team's not only going to look different physically in that their length, they're versatile, but Brad Underwood's going to use them differently, right? There's no Kofi Coburn in the middle of the floor on both sides of the court. And for a lot of reasons, that was a good thing for Illinois. But also with this team, there are different ways. So what do we expect the system to be? I know we've heard a little bit about it from Brad Underwood, but this is an important part to actually implement that now.
I know the emphasis on transition game, which isn't going to be a new thing for Illinois. They've done that in the past, but of course you're going to have some new players that are going to be getting accustomed to that. I think kind of hand in hand with playing transition, I think defensively is something that you're going to really be interested to see how they dial up some pressure potentially. I know that Ty Rogers told us over the summer that they've been practicing defending full court. Not saying they're going to do that all the time. I don't think they will, but being able to throw out some full court pressure, being able to maybe dabble in the passing lanes, not going to be 30 feet away from the basket denying as they did year one of Brad Underwood. But I think with more length, more athleticism, they can create some more turnovers than they have in recent years. Now, they've been very good defensively. It's just something they haven't really done is turn up those turnover numbers. So I think they'll switch, really two through four, maybe even having Coleman two through five. Cool. Coleman could probably switch onto a guard or a wing and kind of just having a new principles defensively. And then offensively, you're still going to see a lot of ball screen, of course, instead of just a rim roll every time with Kofi. You're going to have the ability to play some pick and pop with Coleman and what that ultimately looks like. But you're also going to play some wings in ball screens. You're going to play a ball screen for Matthew Meyer, maybe even play a ball screen for Coleman Hawkins. And I know that Brad has even mentioned potentially getting back to some spread offense as well. So there are just so many things that he can tinker with and trying to find ways to get guys shots. And there's a lot more options. It's just repping those and getting guys comfortable and dabbling with those lineup combinations as well. That in the past it's been, well, we're going to throw the ball to Kofi 50% of the time, and then when we're not doing that, we're going to run a ball screen with the point guard and Kofi. And it's going to be a lot more options now, but you got to be able to work that in and see how that plays out.
One thing that I have to remind myself of, Derek, is, yeah, Illinois wanted to push the ball in transition last year, but they didn't make many layups. Like, I'd have to do this, but like outside of Kofi Coburn, how many made field goals were around the rim for this team last year? Like Brad Underwood said, we're not a good layup-making team because Trent Frazier was small. Demonte Williams wasn't all that explosive or great off the bounce, right? Jacob Grandison, that was not his game. So when Coleman Hawkins would come in and kind of developed late in the year and you're seeing him take off the bounce, you're like, oh, that looked easy. You got a lot of those guys now. Like Terrence Shannon, maybe not ball handling is his strength, but he can take somebody off the dribble. Matthew Meyer is really good in that. Sky Clark can attack the basket. Maybe we'll have to see how explosive he is off his knee, but RJ Melendez, right? Like, I think that's why people were so enamored with him, was he was able to rise and finish pretty easily. This team should be more effective in transition because they're longer, they're more explosive, they're bigger, right? So you would hope that would translate to more easy buckets because Illinois had to work for its shot opportunities last year.
Yeah, a lot of times the best shot in transition last year was Plummer. Yep. Spotting up from three. And he actually was one of the better finishers at the rim, shockingly, for as small as he was. Some of those high kisses off the glass that he was able to execute was kind of surprising. But, yeah, you have some more above-the-rim athletes. You have more guys that can make a play off the dribble, break down a defense. And I think that maybe it is just less set plays and maybe just having – ball move. I know that Jeff Goodman today at Illinois practice saying how much length there is and just how much the ball moves. It might just be a lot of flowing offense of, all right, you're going to move the ball. We saw with the 05 team, not saying they're going to be 05, but just the ball movement, break a guy down. Oh, that creates this rotation, kick it out. You know, the floor spacing is going to be there, so the lane should be wide open, especially when Coleman's playing the five, and see what that ultimately looks like. Of course, you got to have that chemistry to continue to gel, and that's one of the keys of this season as well, just how quickly that comes together for this team, and a lot of hours coming up to work on that.
Yeah, I think you and I have mentioned it, like the early schedule and having freshman guards and all these new players, like there could be some stinkers. There could be some clunkers in there, but I think by the end of the year it could be really, really good as well. The competition on the wings, I'm really interested in, because we're expecting Ty Rogers to play a lot, whether it's point guard minutes or on the wing. I mean, he could play one through four, right? Matthew Meyer, Terrence Shannon, going to play probably two of the highest minutes on the team, along with Coleman Hawkins. But that means RJ Melendez, Luke Goody, Ty Rogers, you know, Sincere Harris, if you want to throw him in there, all competing for minutes. We don't talk a lot as much about Melendez and Goody and how they fit into this, even though Melendez, man, probably going to be a starter, and we saw towards the end of the year his potential is through the roof. Brad Underwood keeps saying this guy's going to be a star in the Big Ten. So he's a really important piece of this team, Derek, that we don't talk a ton about.
Yeah, certainly. It's funny how the transfer portal and what Illinois was able to do, it's talked about from, is RJ Melendez going to be the next sophomore breakout NBA draft pick? And is RJ Melendez going to get enough opportunities? Now, I'm not saying that he's not going to start, because I think he will. I think that he's in competition with Ty Rogers to crack that starting lineup. And I would expect Brad to go with the veteran. I just think that RJ still has a lot to like with his talent, and seeing him do more things off the dribble this year, because I know that he was I know he didn't take that many threes, but he shot an efficient percentage. We know that he was good in transition. And yeah, I think the way that he's able to fit in as kind of that sidekick on the wing to Terrence and Matthew Meyer is going to be interesting to see. Ty's going to be on everybody's heels because, number one, Brad already loves him. And how could you not with how he's going to play defense, how he's going to make the right plays, and what that means for RJ Melendez's minutes, what that means for Luke Goody. Luke Goody's a tough dude. He's a good shooter. He's a guy that also the staff trusts to be in the right places to make the right passes and to not make too many mistakes. It's just going to be interesting to see how that whole thing sorts out. Mm-hmm. And whether Luke can play good enough defense, because I think the other guys in that rotation are more athletic and more dynamic offensively. And then you have a guy like Ty, who's still a freshman, trying to crack in with a lot of veterans. And yeah, I mean, Matthew Meyer and Terrence Shannon are going to play. I'd be surprised they don't both play around 30 minutes a game. So outside of that, who else really solidifies himself is a big storyline.
Dane Danger, because we talked early on in the offseason, you and I were hearing the hype, especially from one Brad Underwood publicly, about Dane Danger. And we're like, wait a minute, this guy's played 9 college minutes, right? Like, it's just like, why are we plugging him into a starting lineup when you can have a starting lineup of Hawkins, you know, Melendez, Meyer, Shannon, Sky Clark? Like, I just like that lineup being more versatile. And then you have the versatility of Danger, who gives you something different at the 5, and Hawkins can play with him, Meyer and Shannon can play with him, and have a point guard on the court, right? That seems to have died down a little bit, and I'm happy about that. And Derek, we were texting, and you gave me a good comp of what his role could be. Can you share that? Do you remember that?
Did I tell you Georgie?
Yes.
Yeah.
A Georgie-like role makes a lot more sense than kind of the early, what was it, May hype we were hearing.
You mean when he was the best ball handler on the team?
I still think they say that, it seems like.
They still do say that. It's just, yeah. And look, I watched Dane in AAU. You know, I've seen him a handful of years ago when he was a prospect, and I really, really liked him. I think now, especially that his body's right, he's got a chance to be a very good player. He's just still very unproven in college. And Coleman Hawkins, while he still has steps to make going forward, is a lot more proven than Dane, has been through a lot more of those in-game battles and whatnot. And, yeah, I think that, is Coleman going to be Kofi in terms of eating up all the minutes of the 5? Not necessarily, right. But Georgie-like role in that 15 minutes. Some night it might be 18 to 20. Some night it may be 12 to 10. I think that him coming in and kind of being someone that can be productive in a limited role, it's just I think that versus kind of the early buzz of this guy's no doubt going to start at the 5, or he's going to be one of the best players on the team,
or that the expectation is he's Trevion Williams. Like, maybe eventually.
Maybe.
Like, let's see him play some college games first. That's yeah. My only thing is, like, I thought it was a little bit too much. Like, I think the Georgie expectation is good. That's a good player. That's a very useful player. And I'm not sure. Like, that would be a win for Illinois if you get that in the transfer portal. And then if you think he can reach that ceiling later in the season or next year, maybe when Hawkins is gone, that's a great piece to have. It's just, you know, when you have such a small sample size of guys, I just don't think you should plug them in as starters over guys who are, you know, more proven at this level.
Right, and I think that if Brad does in certain stretches want to go spread offense, can you put Dane Danger in the pinch post and let him do some things and maybe take a Zach Edey off the dribble?
Yeah.
Then, yeah, I think that would be something that in spots is going to make a lot of sense. He's going to be a factor on the team, just the difference between being a 20 to 25-minute game guy versus a little bit less than that. And, yeah, like you said, Georgie was a valuable role player. I know that he was an up-and-down roller coaster, yeah. And with Dane playing his first full season might be – somewhat similar, but and then also one difference between him and Georgie with the 7'4" wingspan might be a little bit better contesting around the rim than Georgie was, which is certainly a benefit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited about Dane's skill set. It's something they don't have on the team. That's what's nice about this team is there's so many different pieces. It's just how they all fit together. That's what's going to be so fun about all of this. It's probably going to be messy at times, but I think there's going to be flashes early in the season where this team looks like, oh, they can win the Big Ten, and then there's going to be flashes that team might be on the bubble, and then probably by Big Ten play, it'll sort itself out, and this team turns into a Big Ten contender, right? Like, I think they will be in the mix towards the top of the Big Ten just because there's so much talent, so much versatility, and let's be honest, I think Brad Underwood's a pretty good coach, and I think he'll get the most out of most of these guys.
Yep, I agree with all that, and with the challenges early in the schedule, knowing that you're having new systems at both ends of the court, a lot of newcomers, there are going to be some moments, and you do hope that if you do take some lumps in Vegas and the Jimmy V Classic, you don't also let one slip at home against Syracuse. And right, we've talked about that when the schedule was released. So being able to have maybe steal a win that on paper people wouldn't expect you to get, and then also try to avoid that bad loss, losing the bragging rights game to Missouri. I mean, I think Missouri is going to be better than they have. I mean, how could you not be better than last year? But that's another way to look at it. But by the time things click together, it's just so much talent to have. I mean, Meyer and Terrence Shannon would have been all league, maybe even first team Big 12 type of players if they would have stayed at their respective places. And then now coming to the Big Ten, have a chance to, I mean, Shannon could be first team preseason. I know we were talking about the preseason list for the athletics poll. And yeah, I know you put Shannon in there. I think Meyer could be a second or third team type of guy too.
Yeah. I'll preview this a little bit. Yeah, we were kind of going back and forth, the Athletic, and we appreciate those guys. Adam Jardy asks us every year to fill out our poll, and we got Illinois High. We got Illinois High in this list, and I have Iowa higher than other people. We have Maryland higher than other people. I never feel good about having Wisconsin lower than I want to, but the middle is hard. The middle of this league is hard, and let's be honest, the top of the league, you know, Indiana, Illinois, Michigan State, Michigan, Ohio State. You could have those in any kind of number of directions. But Hunter Dickinson, Trace Jackson Davis are no doubt first team guys, right? Zach Edey, first team guy. Chris Murray, most people are going to put there. Then it gets tough. Like, some people probably put Xavier Johnson of Indiana, who was great at the end of last year. I struggle, based on what I saw early in the year with Xavier Johnson at times, to put him there. I love Cliff Omorui. I had him third team last year when a lot of people didn't. Dante Scott, Maryland, they've got some players. The Wisconsin guys, Hepburn and Wall, are pretty good. But I think Terrence Shannon is so key, Derek, because of his experience and because he seems to have some leadership. That's the buzz you're hearing, I know, and you've told us many times. He's going to be very important, I think, early in the season to be a steadying influence, I think, because things are going to go wrong when you're trying to gel like this. And I think it's going to be very important for him to kind of step up into that leadership role, because while Sky and Ty might have some of those things, I think Terrence Shannon's probably the best player on this team, the most veteran guy on this team. And Coleman Hawkins, I think, can be such a positive influence with his energy sometimes. But I just think naturally sometimes it's going to be a negative. It's kind of what you deal with when you get a guy like that, which can be a great thing because he's such a good player. But I think Terrence Shannon's got to be that steadying guy.
He's been the alpha on this team so far. And I'd not say there can't be another one to emerge. I think they expect big things out of Matthew Meyer and his experience as well, being someone that's won a national title and has won a lot of games. But yeah, Shannon, with his work ethic, with his toughness, the fact that he is a really good defender because he's so strong and athletic, and then explosive finisher, and he's developed into a really good catch-and-shoot guy. It's just, I think that's already the floor of a all-conference type of player. And then the type of volume he's going to get at Illinois, the fact that he's going to be more healthy this year with the back that ailed him last year, caused him to miss a month of the season, and then he was limited a little bit since coming back. So more healthy, more opportunities. Illinois wants to play in transition. That plays right to his strength. And I think that we've talked about it, him being healthier probably means him getting to the free throw line more. One very interesting note with him is just being kind of in that go-to role. He hasn't had that while he's been at Texas Tech. He's been a productive player. Having him be a go-to guy, especially late in games, having him get a shot or having Matthew Meyer get a shot, those are two roles that they haven't necessarily been in before. So while they're veteran players, if they can rise to that occasion, that puts them even more in a conversation to be high on those lists here. But I'm fully in agreement. I think that Shannon's the leading scorer for Illinois. I wouldn't be surprised if he's not 15-plus a game. I don't think Illinois is going to have a 20-point-per-game score like they had the last two seasons, but I think he's in that 15-16 range. I think he has a great year.
All right, Derek, before we get out of here, Baby Cade update. Give me something.
Oh, man, he's putting his feet in his mouth now. Is that okay?
That's a normal thing, yes.
Yeah, he started to do that. He wants to crawl so bad. He hasn't been able to accomplish that. He's rolling over all the time.
Is he upset when he's not able to move like he wants to?
Oh, he's so angry.
Yeah. It's amazing how angry they get because they just want to move by themselves, and then you have to do it for them. So you got to carry them around, move them around.
He's going to be so much happier when he can actually move on his own. When those teeth calm down on him, he's got two that's already poked through, and I think another one is bothering him a little bit. But we did take him to the zoo last week, and he's not going to remember that. he's still getting all of his awareness down. He knows who mom and dad are and some people, but he was staring the penguin in the face, and that was just kind of a cool moment. Probably a cooler picture than anything else, but
for the grand.
It's been fun, man.
Yeah, my biggest advice, we found this Batman roller. It's like a Batmobile, like they could walker kind of thing. My kids crawled for like 2 weeks and they walked because they scooted around in that thing from like 5 months to 10 months and they couldn't get enough of it. And it just allowed you to be free for like 2 minutes until they ran into something and then you go check out. I couldn't say more good things about the Batmobile roller if you can find one.
I'm all about Batman too. So I'm in on that. We do got a little walker now, but the Batman one sounds legit. So we're going to have to get that
it's like
out.
A zero-turn mower, man. It's like amazing how quick. It's not like one of those big ones that's bulky. Anyway, Derek,
you make some dinner, right? Right. Put him in the kitchen on that. He rolls around and you make some dinner for yourself.
That's amazing. You learn that as an adult, like when you're a parent. It's like, oh, just 5 minutes to make dinner. It's hard to get when you get a newborn in the house. Well, Derek Piper, thanks for the info as always. Check out the latest from Derek Piper at IllinoisInquirer.com. Thanks, Derek.
Yep, always fun, man.
All right, appreciate listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. Go find us wherever you get your podcasts. Rate us, review us. We appreciate that. Check us out on YouTube. Put out all our videos and podcasts on that as well. Everybody take care of each other. Have a great day. We'll talk to you next time on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.